very aware of my failures, my own shame, my own brokenness, and my sinfulness. Why would this all-knowing, all-loving, all-powerful God want to make his home in me and invite me to make my home in him? But that's the good news of the gospel. He does make that invitation. He loves us. Have we had our reading today? We haven't, have we? Maybe I could ask Diane, wherever she is, to come up and read our passages.
Good morning. Our reading this morning is taken from John chapter 15, starting at the first verse. This is the narrative about the vine and the branches. So we're starting at verse 1 of John chapter 15. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give to you. This is my command: love each other. Do you want me to do it?
Thank you, Diane. Brilliant, thank you. So this is us, me, Andy, Josiah, Annabelle, and Lucy, who are in various places with Granny and Auntie. We work with YWAM, whose aims are knowing God and making God known. And that's the theme of what we're sharing with you this morning. We're going to bring a message from this passage in God's word, give you a little taster of some of what we do in terms of equipping people to be mobilized in mission, and share some testimonies of what we've seen God do that you've been a part of as you've been partnering with us. So what was I saying? We've got this incredible God who wants and invites us to live life with him. I'm basically just going to quote Jesus' words from this passage. There's so many incredible truths. From verse 9, he says, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. And we've been, many of us have been celebrating in recent weeks, Easter, thinking about Jesus going to the cross and making it possible for us to have relationship with God, to have hope here today in the midst of the struggles and pain we face, and also hope for eternity. In verse 13, he says, greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. How incredible that God would do that for us. See, he had every right to make us servants or slaves, but he goes further than that and he calls us friends and he shares what's on his heart with us. I find that absolutely mind-blowing. In verse 15, he says, I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. What an incredible truth that we're invited into the heart of God and that he would share what's on his heart with us. But he goes even further than that. He doesn't just share what's on his heart, but he calls us to be a part of what he's doing as a result of that motivation. We read in verse 16 that he chose us. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. And jumping back a bit to verse 11, I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. How incredible. That's God's motivation for us. That he wants us to live fruitful lives, that he wants us to experience great joy. I know some of us have had experiences in life that make that hard to comprehend. Perhaps relationships have informed the way that we and we reflect those things on God. But the truth is that he loves us and his heart for us is a good one. So, okay, this is all very good. We understand we need to remain in God's love. But how do we do that? I love this passage because it gives us the answers. So if we jump to verse 10, he unpacks to his followers, if you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. And what a gift that we can have the scriptures and we can look through the gospels and see how Jesus lived his life and see practically what loving, obeying looks like. So what are his commands? Well, again, he gives us the answer in this passage. In verse 17, he says, this is my command, love each other. We're called to love each other. Jesus said that we'd be known as his disciples because of our love for one another. So we're called to love each other in this wonderful, messy family of church, to forgive one another, to speak truth to one another, to encourage one another, to be there, help pick people up when you're going through challenges. But beyond that, we're called to love each other beyond these walls, beyond this family, to those who don't know Jesus, to those who've never heard this good news. It's this kind of beautiful, vicious circle of receiving and living in that place of love, and then pouring out and sharing that love with others. But how do we do that? I remember as a young Christian, I would often listen to talks and be like, okay, that's very good. I understand intellectually what you're saying, but how practically do you build a friendship with the living God? What does that look like? And I think that's when we really need to be a part of one another's lives, to give a window into each other's lives, particularly those who've been following for a while, to show, hey, this is what it looks like practically in my life. Like any relationship, there's an element of trial and error. I'd love to say that me and Andy have amazing communication all the time, but you saw us do the three-legged race. But we grow and we learn over time. how we connect with each other, how we can build and strengthen our relationship. And it looks different in different seasons of life. It looks very different now with three little people than it did when we were first married. And it's the same in any relationship. We go through different seasons and it can look different. But I just wanted to share a few things that I'm doing in my relationship with God at the moment. They might inspire you. If they don't, that's fine. Take and leave what connects with you. If we have the next slide, there's a few pictures. So one thing that God was saying to me a while ago was, come and spend 5 minutes a day with me. Now, I often call myself a human doer than a human being, because I'm not very good at sitting still. And so at first, being honest, I didn't do it because I didn't understand why. I was like, my to-do list is very long. I've got the demands of three little people. Trying to find 5 minutes of peace is quite difficult. But he very lovingly and persistently kept on at me. And so eventually I was like, okay, I'm going to take these 5 minutes a day. And so I made myself a cup of tea. I found a nice seat in the lounge. I looked out the window. I wasn't reading the Bible. I wasn't praying. I was just sitting there aware that the God of all creation wanted to be with me. And he had no agenda for me. He just enjoyed being with me. And often in those times, it would just be that time of quiet. And there would be nothing profound or significant. There have been a few occasions when I felt God very clearly speak to me. Maybe it's a situation that I've asked him about or something I've been worrying about, or maybe I'm getting a stew in a certain relationship, and he's just given me a little bit of a perspective shift and helped me understand how things might be from the other perspective. But oftentimes I've not had anything. It's just been 5 minutes of sipping my cup of tea and looking out the window. And yet in those noisier times of life, it's like I've been able to catch what he's saying a little easier. So maybe there's been a song lyric playing in the background, and then I'm reminded of a certain friend, and I'll just send them a quick message saying, I heard this song and I thought of you. And the number of times people say to me, wow, that's exactly what I needed to hear today. It's even happened, I've never had this before in my life, but even in dreams recently, had really specific, like the name of a city, a certain person. And I messaged my friend Hannah the other week and I was like, have I had too much cheese, or does this mean something to you? And she was like, wow, that's incredible. I was praying about going on this conference, not sure whether to leave my two little boys for that long, but asking God for confirmation, and then here comes your message. And that's really exciting, to be involved in people's lives in that way, just being able to catch those things. And it might be, even I was having lunch with some of the mums at our play group the other week, and the kids were all running around, and I just felt I should ask one of the women if she had, whether she'd looked for wedding dresses. To my knowledge, she hadn't booked her wedding yet. And so I didn't actually ask. But then later she ended up bringing it up, and there was this whole situation. And I just thought, wow, God even cares about those details in people's lives. And so I didn't act on that prompting then, but it's given me confidence to think when that does come next time, I'm going to go for it. Finding where you connect with God. Who here is enjoying the coming of spring, the blossoms appearing on the trees? It just brings so much joy to my heart. And being outside under blue skies or even cloudy skies just reminds me of the creator behind it all. Another thing I've been challenged in recently is to really ask God more specific questions. And that could be about things I'm reading in the Bible or just about life in general, because God really cares about every detail of our lives. And I know often in society we expect an instant answer, and sort of see it as a sort of slot machine. And it doesn't often work that way with God. But I really love how often the same theme will come up in different ways. It might be something on the TV. It might be something that pops up in a conversation, something read in a book. But it all builds together an answer to a question or a worry that I have. See, God is a really personal God. He doesn't want us to do life apart from him, because he has so much better for us. And this in my heart brings me great joy, and it brings him joy too. Many of you probably have a phone. They have great things on phones, don't they, to help us connect with God, but I'm sure I'm not the only one here that can find it a massive distraction as well. And so finding ways of putting boundaries on things that can be helpful to a degree but become a hindrance in tuning in and listening to God is important too. And then learning from others. Like I said today, some of what I've shared will connect with some of you, but others of you will be completely different personalities and connect with God in different ways. So share with one another how you're connecting with God, what's helping you build that relationship. One of the best books I've read, well, I say read, I'm halfway through, on putting words to deepening our experience in God is this one called Beholding by Coleman. And he's got some really helpful ideas in there of things that he's done. And one of the fun things me and the kids have started doing is just saying, hello, God. So we might be in the car or around the breakfast table, but we'll just take a moment and say, hello, God. And it's kind of fun. It's kind of funny. But it reminds us that God's with us in those everyday moments. And it actually brings us a lot of joy when we do it. And so, learning from other people without trying to be another person. I know I've been guilty of that in the past. You can have this picture of, wow, if I just do things like Sheila, then my world will be much better. But Sheila's Sheila. The way she connects with God will look different to the way I do, the way you do. So, there's just some thoughts to think through on how we can abide with God. But all that comes out of a place of choosing to make him number one in your life. And so, I hope that something of what I've shared has connected with you and that you can take that away. And maybe Diane could read us the next passage, and Andy's going to lead us on into making God known. Thank you.
Our second reading is taken from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 28. These are the last three verses in Matthew's Gospel, and this is the Great Commission. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Amen.
Thank you, Dan. Oh, I guess my Bible's not going to stay open. Thank you, Kimberly, for sharing. Doesn't it start off with knowing God? We know God to make him known. And it sets us into a beautiful cycle of, because when we meet Jesus, he's exciting. He sets us free. He brings us life. And we want to tell people about him. And as we actually go out and tell people about him, we see that he goes with us and we meet him in that process, which makes us go, wow, I want to know you more. Which then we go, wow, I want to make you known more. And it's this wonderful, beautiful cycle that starts off with meeting him, knowing God. As Kimberly said, we work with Youth with a Mission with YWAM. There are three main parts of YWAM. I'll just give you a quick YWAM in a nutshell. The first one is evangelism. We are just passionate about telling people about Jesus and the life-transforming thing that it is to have a relationship with him. Next, we have Mercy Ministries. We have ships that go around the world giving medical care to people. So in Papua New Guinea, for example, we have been asked by the government to give medical care, and we have two or three ships going around helping people out there. We also have lorries that do the same thing. We go into refugee camps, just lots of stuff practically showing and serving love to people. And then our final thing is training. So that can be from youth groups, training them for short-term missions trips, all the way through to getting a degree. We actually have a university within YWAM as well. So you can get your training to go into whatever field or specialty that you want, but it also equips you to be a missionary in that context as well. Locally, so in Newcastle, we focus on youth, families and the unreached. We define youth as under 25-year-olds, which lets us work with students. And we enjoy partnering with Agape. So we go onto the campus with them and we help train the Christian students in sharing their faith, as well as actually just going out onto campus with the team. We also join in with the Friends International for their Globe Cafe on the Monday evenings to reach out to the international students. And we'll sometimes meet up with them during the week or through different events, just to continue slowly building relationships and sharing Jesus with them. With those two organizations, we've also started twice a year running an evangelism training day, which we try to have as a workshop feel. So very interactive. So you actually get given some tools, you learn how to use them, and then you go feeling like you actually know what to do with them the next day. We also have a great privilege here of being involved in leading the youth group here. So we get to do that twice a month. The youth keep coming back. So either we're doing something right or they come for the pizza. But either way, we have a great time doing that. And our aim this year, we've really tried to focus on how can we help them to know Jesus? Because they're going to go to university, they're going to go into workplaces, they're going to go to other situations. And we'd like them to be in that place of going, I don't know what's going on, I'm scared, but I know how to go to Jesus. I know how to go to the one who can help me more than anyone else and find my support there. So we're having a lot of fun doing that. And we're also going out prayer walking. We've always done that. In Biker, we were doing that for a while. And something really cool about in Biker, we were praying for a church that we're working with. Their building was just the shell. It didn't have any seats in. It was didn't even have electricity in. And after a while of praying, some church came up and said, our organ fund has £20,000 spare. Which church has an organ fund? But they had £20,000 spare and they gave it and we put electricity. Well, we didn't. They got electricity put into the church, which is awesome. We kept praying. And recently, in the last 6 months, they just got given £5 million to purpose build that building so it can be for youth. So they've been doing lots of little bits and pieces with youth work, and now they're being able to totally kit their building out just to continue doing church and reaching the youth of Biker. I think that's awesome and exciting. And I could literally go on for hours with testimonies of God doing stuff through prayer walking. So I'm excited this evening that you're going to be doing it. It is a thing of we went, and then we saw breakthrough. So for those of you going out tonight, it's awesome. Stuff happens, sometimes slow and sometimes it's instant, but it's really cool. So I just wanted to say, you know, the Great Commission says, go and make disciples of all nations. What does going look like? I've just got a couple of stories that I want to share from my life of what going for me looks like. So one time I was in Asda, I was in a bit of a rush, because I'd taken on one too many things. I was taking Josiah, my eldest, to his swimming lesson afterwards. And I'd got the little zappy gun thing so I could just scan round, scan the computer, pay and go. I've usually found that really quick. But on this occasion, I'd gone round, I'd scanned, and the screen said to me, you're a winner, you get a random bag check. Hooray. So now I have to wait for somebody to come over. And you know how hard it is to get attention of people at the self-checkout. So eventually this lady comes over and I thought, oh, I could be really frustrated and annoyed, ignore her, or I could be friendly. So I just said, hi, how's your day going? I'll try and make some small talk. And she said, oh, I'm in a lot of pain. I was like, oh, what's wrong? I've broken my shoulder and it's been hurting me all day. This lady's name is Anne. I was like, oh, I'm sorry to hear that. Well, this might sound a bit strange. I'm a Christian and I believe God can heal people. Could I pray for you? This lady then grabs me with the strongest grip of anybody in the face of the earth. This vice grip is on my wrist. And she said, I would love that. So I just said, Jesus, thank you for Anne. And be in the name of Jesus, shoulder, I command you to be healed. And that was my prayer. Anne starts to cry. I feel uncomfortable when people cry. It's not my happy place. But she starts crying because she's encountered God in that moment. That prayer is nothing fancy. The words are not particularly profound. But Jesus moved and she was touched in that moment. And that was going. She didn't give her life to the Lord in that moment, but that's okay. She had an encounter with a Christian, someone who showed her some love. And I trust that her journey now, God will bring somebody else to her who she'll be a little bit more open to the gospel for because I gave her that encounter. So that's my base hope when I go, is that somebody has a good encounter with a Christian so that the next person has an easier job. And when I put it in those kind of terms, it becomes a lot easier. And sometimes I get to share the whole gospel. Other times, it's just a seed that I get to sow or get to water a little bit. When I went to register my daughter, Lucy, when she was born, I went to the registrar's office and I forgot most of the information when I was asked, what's her name? Lucy, I did come up with that. What's her birthday? You know, all these things which you know, and then all of a sudden your mind just goes, poof. But we got through it. And then towards the end, I started feeling this desire. It's like, oh, I think I should pray for her. And I had this other desire that went up inside me of fear, which was like, absolutely not. That's terrifying. I am not going to go and pray for this person. And I wish I said I was obedient and I prayed, but I wasn't. I said, thank you. I got up with the birth certificates and I left the room with a bit of shame. And I said, I'm sorry, God. And I'm sorry that I didn't pray then. And this thought went through my head, which was not too late. Right. Okay. So I turned around and went back. And she was in the room still, and so was a colleague, which was worse, because there's one person was a bit scary, and then there's two, and this one's not even related to what we're doing. But she looks at me and says, can I help? I was like, yeah, sorry. I meant to say before, I'm a Christian, and I was just wondering, could I pray for you? Her colleague then exits the room. And she says, oh yeah, actually, that'd be really nice. Well, what could I pray for you? And she says, some stuff that was going on in her life and with her family. And again, I said, thank you, Jesus, for this lady. And just the stuff that she'd asked for prayer for, I prayed for. And again, God touched her. She met Jesus in that moment and was just a bit emotional. And she said, nobody's ever done that for me before. And I was like, well, yeah, God loves you. And then I left, because that's what God had told me to do, was pray for this lady. I had done what he'd asked me, and I'm trusting that the next step, just like with the one before, she'll meet somebody who'll take her a bit further, or she might have people journeying and praying for her. I don't know, but I don't have this pressure on me to go and do everything in that one fell swoop. There are other people that I go with who I am doing that with, who are journeying. But so there's a few things just out of this. Be available, be interruptible, be kind, be open, because you don't know what's going to happen. And as we go, we've got to be prepared to make mistakes. You know, in the world of business, they say, if you're not prepared to make a mistake, you're not going to make any money. It's the same thing in a Christian walk. If we're not prepared to make mistakes, we're not going to see ourselves grow. We're not going to see people encounter Jesus. We make a mistake, that's okay. We go away, we learn, and our aim is always to love. It's important as well. We can see other people doing things. We can try doing things the way they do, just to kind of give us a place to start from. And then we figure out how it works for us. But being ourselves, not changing our voice so it becomes weird when we pray, you know, it's just being normal. If you're praying for people who don't know Jesus out on the street, keep your eyes open. It's weird if you're talking to someone and suddenly they just have their eyes closed, and, you know, it's being normal. So I've got a challenge for you. Monday morning comes along, tomorrow. Someone will probably ask most of you, how was your weekend? What did you do? What's your response to that question going to be? Is it, I watched the football, I knitted a jumper, I did the shopping? Or is there a way you could say, oh, I went to church, which might be something which just tells them that you have faith? Or could it be, I heard this really inspiring talk about coming to know Jesus, about making him known. Do you have a faith? Could you add a question in there? Something that we'll share just a little bit more and have a question and opportunity to be in a bit of dialogue. And it can just be little seeds, baby steps. But as we go and do these over the weeks and months, we see that momentum builds and we root it in prayer. We root it in knowing God and interceding. And we see things build and grow and people will slowly come to meet Jesus. So that's my challenge to you for tomorrow. I just want to now just finish off a little bit with just looking towards the future of what YWAM we're doing. I think we have a few of the pictures for that coming up. Keep going. Next one should be. Okay. So I said we've got Mobilize. This is the Evangelism Training Day. If you want to become equipped, get some skill in how to share your faith with people, how to share Jesus, we've got a friend from YWAM is going to come up and speak this time. It's going to be at St. Luke's on the 19th of October. And these are always a lot of fun. And we find people, we find it useful, which is why we keep doing them. We often ask at the end, what would you like to grow in? What would you like training for? And that will shape the next event. So we'd love you to be able to come to that. Next up, we have Cedarwood Youth Group. That's your youth work. This is a festival that happens in the Northeast. And we've been involved in that, helping out for the last 2 years. This year, we've actually been asked to run the youth work. The theme is connected. So we're excited to have 50 plus young people, showing them how to develop a relationship with Jesus, how to go deep. Hopefully they'll get an encounter with God. And we're going to go out to a small town called Beedale and do some outreach there on the Sunday afternoon. So please keep us in your prayers as we plan and do that. Next slide, please. Good news for everybody. This is what you guys are doing. Sheila's already spoken about this. I'm so excited about this outreach. You know, I was at the church leaders meeting when it was announced. They said if 1% of the city responds, that's 30 people extra in each church across the city. And I just think that's insane. And I think more than 1% will respond. It's being bold, knocking on some doors. To me, that's the worst form of outreach, but I'm prepared to go through that discomfort so somebody can have the pleasure of knowing Jesus. Like, I just think it's going to be amazing. I don't know what you're going to do as follow up on it, but we're looking forward to, when our regular programs stop, to be involved in that, particularly over the summer with whatever churches are doing it. I think it's super exciting. And the next one, does this video work? No worries if it doesn't. So this is an event called The Send. Hopefully you'll be hearing more about The Send as the time goes on. The Send isn't a YWAM event. It's a Body of Christ event. There are many organizations and denominations coming together to put on this event, which will happen in London next summer. And it accumulates with everybody taking their shoes off saying, I'm all in for Jesus. And we're doing stuff at the moment to build up and excite people to follow Jesus. And the follow-up, people will say, I want to take Jesus to the nations. If that's those people, we'll say, YWAM will give them a call and say, hey, we can train you. How can we help you get there? If they say they want to do other types of mission, there'll be other groups and organizations and churches that will say, we will call you and help give that training. It's happened in numerous parts around the world. Norway is the most recent place in Europe to have, and that was 2 years ago. And I recently heard that in Norway, youth groups are doubling in sizes. The faith level of young people has just risen. They're going out into the streets, they're going into their schools, and boldly proclaiming the gospel. It's really, the youth leader saying, it's shifted and changed something. So it's more than just the events, but I'm excited to see what that can do for the UK and Ireland. It's the whole thing together. So,
are you waiting? Waiting for someone else to help the brokenness in this world? Waiting for life to change? Knowing there's got to be more than this? It's time for one of the greatest sending nations on Earth to send again. For millennia, the UK and Ireland have been a people holding true to the gospel, fearlessly proclaiming the good news of Jesus. A people rooted in prayer, witnessing the miraculous, fulfilling the Great Commission. The prayer that echoes across these generations, Lord, do it again. From the northern reaches of Scotland to the Atlantic coast of Ireland, from the beating cities to the Welsh Valley, from the heart of Northern Ireland to the corners of England, we are the sending nations. We are the generation. The Send is a catalytic movement of people embracing the Great Commission to carry Jesus into their schools, universities, neighborhoods, and the nations. Globally, it's already begun. Hundreds of thousands are gathering shoulder to shoulder to be forerunners of God's plan. It's our time now. UK and Ireland, do it again.
Lord, do it again. Do what you did when the apostles were called. Do what you did following Pentecost. Do what you did with Saul of Tarsus and Augustine and Luther and Calvin and John Wesley and George Whitfield and D.L. Moody and William Booth and hundreds and thousands of others. Lord, do it again and help us to reach our world for Christ.
So that's, we're quite excited about that. There are a few things that we're involved in that are coming up. I just wanted to finish off by saying thank you. Thank you for listening today. Thank you for having us. And thank you for standing with us for so long. For the last nearly 15 years, I want to say thank you for praying, for financially giving to, encouraging, being welcome, hosting outreach teams. Westgate Baptist Church has been a really significant partner for us, and we are really blessed to be able to be part of it. So we want to say thank you for that. If you'd like to hear more about what we do, financially give to us, chat to us, say hello, you can find us afterwards, and we can explain or share more. So we just want to say thank you. And to finish off, I've had that very last slide. Just want to finish with Jesus' words. I'll hand back over to Sheila. It's, and behold, I'm with you even to the end of the age. Remember, we go out with Jesus. Behold, I am with you. Just like in the three-legged race, we tie together with Jesus in all we do. Behold, I'm with you even to the end of the age.
It'd be really good if we could pray for Neil. I was going to call you your brother. Can pray for Neil, who's his brother, who's just right there. Hi, Neil. Long time no see. It was because I just looked at you and thought, oh, Neil's here. We're going to pray for Andy and Kimberly and their family. Can I ask Neil, would you like to come and pray? Neil and Viv are part of Andy's and Kimberly's support group. Here comes Kimberly.
Thank you, Heavenly Father, for what we've heard this morning from Andrew and Kimberly. Thank you, Lord, for the trust and the faith that they have in Jesus and how they've gone out to spread the good news in ways that we've heard this morning. And Lord, we pray that you'll bless them, strengthen them in their body, soul, and mind, and in their spirit. May the Holy Spirit heal them and be with them in the days ahead as they make decisions, as they continue to spread the good news of Jesus in a very topical, radical, and local, community-based way. Lord bless them. May their path be, may you go ahead of them in their plans and prepare a way, make a way, as they continue to pray and commit themselves to you, Lord. Bless them as a family, the children, and Lord, just speak to them in the days ahead. Thank you for them. Thank you for the testimony this morning and their witness and the message to us. Lord, may they be blessed in their work with YWAM. We thank you for the great work that they're doing with the young people and the youth of the Newcastle and beyond. Thank you, Lord, for all they're doing. In Jesus' name, we bless them in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. I could just invite those who are coming to serve communion now to come out. You just stand along here. This is what it's all about. This is what it's all about, Jesus. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Hallelujah. Shed his blood for you. God so loved you that Jesus chose the cross for you and for me. Hallelujah. This is amazing grace. Here we are reminded of our wonderful, amazing Savior who loves us without measure, and the cross proved it. So come and take bread and wine and remember, you are loved without measure. Jesus came for you. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Lord, we bless you that you have given us this way to remember that you loved us so much that you sent Jesus to die for us. Your heart's intention is not to condemn us. Your heart's intention is to come towards us and say, come to me, all who are weary, carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Here, as we take bread and wine, these simple things, we remember the gift of your amazing grace. And we give you thanks. Open our eyes to see you, our ears to hear you, our hearts to receive you. For we ask it in your name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.